This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Gary Williams joined me on my podcast yesterday. Maryland with a big game tomorrow night, opening up their Big Ten slate against number 16, Illinois. Two top 25 teams at Xfinity Center. 9 o'clock tip Friday night. I started off by asking Gary, why so much early success for Kevin Willard and his basketball team?
Well, I think just look at last night. Louisville has a new coach. Maryland has a new coach. Anytime you take over a program, and I took over 5 of them, I guess, there's problems. You know, there's a reason why you're there as a new coach. And Louisville's 0-7 and Maryland's 7-0. And I think that speaks for itself, the job that Kevin Willard has done in terms of coming in, making sure the key players stayed in the program, which is really difficult to do with the transfer portal now and some other things. And, you know, just getting them to buy in to a way to play that's really entertaining, a fast-paced, pressing defense, fast-break offense, looking for the first good shot, that type of thing, which I think most basketball fans really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot in recent years about pace of play and, you know, getting to 80. And by the way, you know, I was thinking about you last weekend that when they put up 95 and 88, you know, on two good teams or two expected to be good teams in St. Louis and Miami. Specific to the players, what do you see with this team? What are their strengths?
Well, everybody's required from 1 to 13 on your roster. Everybody's required to play really hard on defense, to rebound. And then the other side of that is each player has a role to play offensively, given that they all set screens, hit the open man, you know, the basic fundamentals you need for a good offense. And I think that's what's going on the offensive end of the court while they're scoring so many points. No one is afraid to shoot when they're open, but yet, you know, the Scots, people like that, they're supposed to take the most shots because they're the best scorers. And so once you get that into your team, those things hopefully will continue to happen where you get the 80-point games, the 90-point games, because I think you can really be a good defensive team and still, if the score's 90 to 65, no different than 65 to 40. In other words, it's just a way to play, a style of play that Kevin's doing, and I think it's really entertaining.
One of the things Naki told me last week when I had him on radio, and he said, being with the team up in Connecticut last week, and he said it hit him in looking at the team versus St. Louis and Miami. He said Maryland's got some men. You know, they're all seniors. They're veteran players. You know, Scott and Hart, you know, and then the two, you know, the transfer portal produced Young and Carey for them. And he said, you know, you don't see that a lot in college basketball. How much, you know, I know they're new together, clearly, and it's not like Carey and Young in that starting backcourt have played with Scott and Hart and Juju Reese before, but how much of the experience factor is part of why maybe they're off to this great start? And by the way, I don't think any of us expected this. I certainly didn't.
No, and I didn't either. I thought, you know, it takes a year usually to get, you know, the team playing the way you'd like them to play, whatever. But, you know, the one thing about that, having those seniors come in, they know this is their last shot. You know, they can't go into the transfer portal again. You know, they're done, you know, in terms of that. So they figured out, and it says something about the quality of the kid, is they figured out that, hey, Kevin Willard wants to play this way. This is the way we're going to play, and we're going to try to win as many games as we can. I think the one thing, when you get to be a senior, you care about winning more than a freshman would in a lot of cases, because freshmen always think, well, we got next year after that. But These guys care about winning. They've been through some tough times where they've been before they came to Maryland. And the players that stayed at Maryland that you mentioned, they went through probably something that very few people have ever experienced, and that is your coach leaving after, I guess it was six games in the season. So, you know, that was had to be a traumatic experience because, you know, you buy into a coach and all of a sudden he's not there. So these guys, both the seniors and then the returning players from Maryland, have kind of combined in what they hope for this year, for what they want it to be this year. And, you know, they're trying to get it, that's for sure.
All right, what are you concerned about as you've watched them so far?
I'm concerned with their size, and I guess that translates into rebounding, too, against big teams. So far, you haven't seen a team, and Illinois will try to do this, come in and try to get Maryland's big guys into foul trouble because there's not, you know, no offense to anybody, but there's not a lot of guys on the bench that are those big, strong guys that can come in and, you know, really hold their own. And a big guy coming off the bench, if he can just, you know, rebound and play defense and, you know, make it tough on the other team until you can get the first string guy back in, then, you know, he's doing his job. It's teams are going to start to look at that, how to hurt Maryland by getting to their bench, especially with their inside players.
What do you think of Reese here in his sophomore year?
I think he's improved tremendously. He's certainly developed confidence. I think that was one of the things last year. He wasn't a real confident player, but I think he is this year. And then the other thing is, as he goes along here, he's going to learn how to counter. You know, he's obviously he wants to go over his right shoulder, being left-handed, so he's going to counter that by really being able to go either way once he gets the ball with his back to the basket. But yeah, you know, and he's one of those players that is gradually developing a complete game. In other words, next year, you know, face up jump shots, things like that, that maybe he's reluctant to do now, but they'll be part of his game next year.
Do you think, you know, in watching, you know, all of these games so far, you know, they pressure a lot. He runs that 2-2-1, you know, pressure. They drop sometimes into man-to-man. Sometimes they drop into 2-3. Sometimes I've seen them drop into defenses that I don't even recognize, to be honest with you. And I'm curious as to what you think defensively will be the best in these, you know, in these grinded out games in the Big Ten, especially, you know, not against the Michigan State, not against Iowa, the teams that like to run and like to play with pace, but the Purdue's and some of the other teams that will want to grind it out. How will they guard some of these teams? What will be the best way?
I think you have to keep your pressure against those physical teams that want to grind it out because those teams want to run their half-court offense against you. They don't want to shoot in transition necessarily, so you keep your press because you're not going to get hurt by it. Now, when you get into drop-back defense, say I think man-to-man is Kevin's, you know, defensive choice,
right,
if he had his choice. How do you help on the post? I think that becomes because they play tough enough on the ball. They know when to overplay. They look for steals. They help. They do all the good things. But it's, okay, they throw it into the post. Now, what do you do defensively? And so you got to have your double team rules down. You have to have your rotation down after you double team with the other three that have to cover four. And I think that'll be the key, you know, for Maryland against those really tough, big physical teams.
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned size and talked about Reese, that's the thing, you know, against the Michigans and some of these teams that are big, that's where, you know, We'll see. I mean, and the pressure, and by the way, if they can rebound or if they can turn teams over on the perimeter and generate offense that way. But so far, Gary, when they've had to run half-court offense, I've been really impressed with the way the ball moves and the way they share it. What have you thought watching it?
Well, yeah, I'm not concerned. If they can continue to play like that, I'm not concerned at all with their offense because the ball's moving, as you said. Players know their roles. They know certain guys are better shooter than other guys. And, you know, everybody doesn't want to shoot 20 times, which is really important. The one thing that you know, is they when they make threes, I think they're pretty tough, you know, and just like a lot of teams, if they don't make their threes, then you got to find a way to get some of those long rebounds on those 3-point shots, because if you don't, the other team's going to run with them and they can hurt you in transition. So, but it's like any team, you know, you look really good when you're making shots, you know, that type of thing, but they're getting good shots. That's the key. I don't see anybody taking many shots where they have to adjust on a jump shot or something like that, or come down the lane and all of a sudden have to throw it. The thing I've noticed about the players, and maybe this is because of veteran players and whatever, is when somebody drives with a basketball, guys are getting into good position to get that kick-out pass.
Yeah.
They really do a good job of finding that open area, because you can be open, but if there's a defender between you and the ball, then you're not open. And so these guys are sliding where they have to get to create a passing lane for that open pass.
There was something I mentioned in the open. They missed a bunch of free throws last night. They're right now like a 70% free throw shooting team, so that's one of the things you'd love to see improved. But I remember you telling me something about turnovers. Like, you know, if you're playing in a style of play where you're trying to score 80-plus points, the turnovers are less significant, and they do, you know, they do turn it over a little bit here and there. They did, you know, last week, and I thought they could have scored 100 against Miami if they didn't turn it over. But just real quickly on protecting the basketball when you're playing this kind of style.
Yeah, I always thought if we could score 80, then I could accept 12 turnovers as the coach if we could get to 80, and that was they were the two numbers I always looked at on the stat sheet, because you don't want to take away players' aggressiveness. That you want them. You want to be the most aggressive player. If you're the most aggressive player every time out, you're going to win a lot of games. And I think that's what we are right now. We've been the most aggressive team in all these games that I've seen, you know, so far this year. And if you say, hey, you know, you got to cut down on your turnovers. Well, certain turnovers, I like guys trying to make plays, especially if they're trying to make a play for another player. You know, you don't want to get on them in that situation. Now, that changes the last 2 minutes of the game. Obviously, turnovers become much more important. So in that key time, if it's a 5-point game, whatever, you don't want turnovers. But during the course of the game, you know, you want to go. You don't ever want to take that aggressiveness away from the players.
All right. Are we going to have a big crowd Friday night?
We better. I'll be very disappointed if we don't, because the team has earned it. You know, there's no saying they haven't done what, you know, they've exceeded everybody's expectations. And I think we as Maryland fans, we as, you know, feel like we're still part of the program or whatever, we have to show and, you know, support the team.
Yeah. I kind of feel like there's a buzz, you know, starting with this team. And, you know, part of it was, there wasn't anything expected, so sometimes it'll take some time, as you know, especially in the middle of football season, you know, around these parts. But a Friday night's the perfect spot. You know, it's not competing with anything, and it's a big-time opponent in Illinois coming in for the Big Ten opener. And, you know, I want Willard, I want him to feel what it's like you and I both know what it's like, you know, when you've got a big opponent and a big game, even in November, early December in that building, because it can be special.
Yeah, some of the best coaches in the country told me after we played against them that, you know, moving out of Cole into Xfinity, you always worry about that. But they said Xfinity was as tough as any place they played. So we have to get that back. If you want to be a good team, you have to win at home, and part of that is the crowd. It's really a tremendous advantage in basketball when you have a great crowd. You know, it starts Friday night.
Tickets are still out there at umterps.com. Let's fill up the building Friday night. They've got a great home schedule coming up. I mean, they play a game, by the way, their next four games are Illinois at home, then they're at Wisconsin, then they play Tennessee at Barclays in Brooklyn, and then UCLA comes into the building at Xfinity December 14th for a massive game. They're big-time Big Ten games in January. So start, start looking at this, because right now they are one of the surprise early early teams in the country. I saw in Lenardi Bracketology yesterday, he's already got Maryland as a 6 seed. You know, before the season, there weren't expectations that Maryland would be a tournament team this year. So they are off to an incredible start. I hope you're well, and I hope to see you Friday night.
Yep, I'll see you there, Kevin, and look forward to it.
Gary Williams, everybody, Hall of Fame coach Gary Williams. Yes, I know it is just December 1st, and somebody reminded me on Twitter, Sheehan, you've referenced what Coach Thompson told you so many times about college basketball in November. Yeah. Coach once told me, I got real excited about a Maryland win in November, and he said, there is nothing more meaningless in sports, in team sports, than college basketball in November. And the reason he said that is that teams change so dramatically with graduation, et cetera, certainly in this day and age with transfers. I heard Vital last night on the Duke-Ohio State game say that he doesn't think the first rankings should come out until after Thanksgiving. I mean, look, North Carolina was number one last week. They lose two games. They're number 18. And if you watch them, they barely look like a top 25 team. And they were number one 2 weeks ago. But yeah, teams change a lot. They grow a lot. And by the time you get to February and March, teams can look much different. Still, the style of play and the efficiency in which they are playing is very exciting. And Maryland's number 22 in the country and has number 16 in town tomorrow night at Xfinity Center. All right, up next, Nick Akridge from Pro Football Focus on what he's seen and some grades from the game against Atlanta, including a player we haven't talked about at all this week in his first start, cornerback Christian Holmes. How did he play? That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.